Hello and welcome to the Pilgrims Podcast, the podcast where we pilgrimage our way through the Pilgrim's Progress. Welcome back to another episode of the Pilgrim's Progress. Today you're joined by me, Harry, and also Stephen.
Good listening. Hello. I was going to say good morning, but then I realized it's evening now, but then thought people might be listening to this in the morning. It's confusing.
Well, Stephen, how are you?
I'm very well. I finished my studies for the term, so I'm very happy.
Oh, that's lucky for some.
You'll get there.
Yeah.
You'll get there.
Yeah. So, Stephen, we're back in then with, I was going to say pilgrim, but obviously Christian and hopeful.
Christian and hopeful, yep.
Yeah, and we're, so we've just left the strange episode of the Flatterer.
And the Flatterer.
And we move on, and they go on, continue walking, and they see someone walking in the distance, a wee bit leisurely along the highway. Christian says, "Yonder is a man with his back towards Zion, and he is coming to meet us."
Did you take it that he was walking leisurely because it said softly and alone?
Mine says leisurely on the my translation. Obviously, it's not as good as yours.
Mine just says softly along, or I think the original is softly and alone.
Oh, yeah, mine says leisurely and alone.
I think I read that as kind of almost timidly, but from the rest of the passage, that wouldn't really fit. So we'll go for leisurely, I think.
Yeah.
You've kind of got like a Leonardo DiCaprio strut.
Yeah, sort of. You know, I'm by myself, but I'm cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. So obviously after the last episode, they're a bit more, their senses are heightened. Hopeful says, "You know, we need to be careful. Could be another flatterer." And then the atheist came and he asked him where they're going.
And he's the atheist?
Yeah, yeah, his name was the atheist. So we already know. Classic Bunyan. you know, they always say, "Show, don't tell." He just tells. and, you know, we're going. I kind of find this part funny. Like, he says, "We're going to Mount Zion." And then the atheist began to laugh loudly. I just picture a big, deep, sarcastic baritone laugh.
Yeah, and it's almost like it grates on Christian a bit.
Yeah,
because he wants to know what are you laughing at? I mean, first of all, this guy is walking as the journey progresses. Christian and Hopeful are making their way towards the still celestial city, the Mount Zion. This guy is walking towards them in the same manner that, is it Timorous and Mistrust were walking away in the kind of opposite direction from the path?
Yes, which is different because most of the people they meet are either going in the same direction or were standing still.
Yeah, so he's coming straight towards them. As if he has been a little further ahead of them and is doubling back.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's a bit ironic when he asks him when he's laughing that he calls them ignorant people, given that not too long ago we've met ignorance?
In fact, ignorance is just behind him, I think, still.
Yeah.
He's kind of walking from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
So they could have turned around and said, "No, we're not ignorant. That's ignorant." And you could kind of have yourself a who's on first kind of scenario.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with that sketch.
On the St. Louis team, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out. I want you to tell me the names of the fellas on the St. Louis team.
I'm telling you, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
You know the fellas' names?
Yes.
Well, then who's playing first?
Yes.
I mean the fellas' name on first base.
Who?
The fella playing first base for St. Louis.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Well, what are you asking me for?
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who is on first?
Have you got a first baseman?
And I think Christian could have set up a really funny Abbott and Costello sketch here by saying, I'm not ignorant. This guy's ignorant. Okay, so Atheist then accuses Christian of being ignorant, or both of them, of being ignorant persons. Ignorance is behind them a few steps, but then he kind of gets cut to the quick.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of these past characters we've had, him and the Flutter, you know, they've been very short encounters.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's similar.
Yeah, straight to the point.
Yeah, like he doesn't sort of faff about, like he's straight into it. Just straight in with insults, really.
Yeah, well, give us a run through of the whole conversation, a very quick overview, and then we can kind of talk about how both Christian and Hopeful respond to it.
Ah, yeah, so Atheist is laughing. When they ask the Atheist why he's laughing, he says, you're making a tedious journey, but you don't really have anything to show for your effort.
So it's pointless?
But yeah, it's pointless, and Christian's like, do nothing will be received. So yeah, they basically have this conversation about Christian saying, oh no, our journey isn't pointless. And Atheist saying, no, it is pointless. And then he starts talking about how, you know, if it was real, you know, he's looked so far, hasn't found any proof yet. But if I go any further, I'm sure I still wouldn't find any proof. And yeah, it sort of finishes with Hopeful, or Christian weirdly sort of tests Hopeful, which is, I found a bit random, but yeah, we'll go more into that later.
Yeah, so he's accusing them of, like, their journey is painful and difficult, yeah, pointless, but Christian says, yeah, well, it might be difficult, and he's kind of not denying that, but it'll be worth it.
Hmm.
And then, you know, do you not think, you know, when we get there, they'll welcome us in? And I think Atheist's whole spin then is that there is nowhere. You will not get anywhere. There is no place to be received.
Mm-hmm.
I should know. I've been there. I've looked.
Look, kid. I've been around, see? Been to all the foreign lands, Brooklyn included.
And I don't see any evidence of a celestial city.
Yeah, I mean, and you consider how long ago this was written, and like, you know, a lot of what Atheist would say, like, still isn't much different from that today.
Yeah, yeah, all there is the material world. And I am a material girl.
And if I don't see enough evidence, so.
And he kind of acknowledges as well that, I mean, he hasn't looked everywhere, but he's seen enough to convince him that there's no point in looking anymore. And therefore, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
How long has he says he's been at it? 20 years. And he hasn't come across anything. And that's it's a very modern argument. It kind of comes across like he was maybe a pilgrim at one stage.
Yeah, partly, or someone who's at least interested.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I wonder, was he from same place as Christian?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just the way he's been searching for it for so long. But was he ever really going out with the right intentions? You know, by the way he's talking.
Well, he seems to, you know, like if you compare him with what we know of Christian's initial excursion, Christian goes out because he's overwhelmed with guilt and sin, and he literally has a burden that he carries, and he has the good news that he takes with him. Atheist seems to hear that there is a better place, and is curious to find out more about it. Just the way it's phrased, he says, I heard as you now affirm, and from that hearing I went out to see, and have been seeking this city for 20 years, but find no more of it than I did the first day I set out. So there's this hint that it was out of a genuine curiosity, but nothing maybe more than that. It certainly seems like a blind faith.
Yeah, definitely along the lines of he's just... they're completely different motives from Christian, that he's not going because of guilt of sin, he's just going to find out.
Yeah, and his argument for it not existing is that he hasn't found it. And what I think is really interesting about that line of argument is, I think Hopeful picks up on it later on, but they saw the Celestial City through the eyeglass when they were with the shepherds on the Delectable Mountains.
Legolas, what do your elf eyes see?
There's no sense that this is some sort of blind faith for them, that they're just crossing their fingers and wishing that there is some grand city that the king resides in. This is something that they've foreseen, that they've seen from a distance and are progressing towards, knowing the solidity of it, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pull back, if you take this part of the story in the sense of the whole story, we know that the only way of making it, and this is spoilers for the end of Pilgrim's Progress if you haven't got that far yet, but at the end of the story, Christian and Hopeful have to cross the River of Death before they can make it into the city, before they can even see it with their own eyes, without any aid. So there's no way that this guy could possibly have gone far enough to see it. He's obviously just gone so far and given up.
Yeah.
He gets to a point where he's satisfied with his lack of evidence.
Mm-hmm. But you think, from his point of view, he was never going out to... he was almost going out as much to disprove as to approve.
Quite possibly, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just like a Bigfoot hunter.
Yeah. You maybe get atheists and they won't want to prove to you if God exists or doesn't exist. They just want to prove that he doesn't. And so they already have this preconceived idea in their head when they're looking in their research or whatever. So...
And everything can be understood, and it's confirmation bias, isn't it?
It is interesting though, because also part of new thinking is that you can't say anything isn't real unless you haven't seen it, or so people didn't think said black swans weren't real, and then because no one had ever seen one. And then they discovered there was one.
Mm-hmm.
So now we know there's black swans. So there's an idea emerging in, is that psychological thought? Or, sort of thought that you can't say something's not real.
It has the potential for real.
That sort of shaves up against, atheism, because... no matter how hard you try, you can't definitely prove God's not real. So, I'm way off on tangent here, but I'm just saying those two thoughts, they don't actually mix quite well, even though they're sort of two ways of thinking and the broad ways of thinking in the non-Christian world. But
I think with the atheists and probably more especially in the Western culture, you'll look at the same evidence of creation of the world and you'll say, well, look at that, that's absolute proof of a design, of an intelligent design, of order out of chaos, that there is something beyond just that which you can see. And the atheist will look at it and say, that's proof of evolution, or of just natural selection, working with no external force at all, and we'll take the same evidence and come to the conclusion that this proves that God doesn't exist.
Yeah, and it sort of comes back to that way of thinking, like, if you're going in with a view of, I don't think God is real, and you go in with that view, when you go into look at these scientific things, then obviously you're, if you have that preconceived notion in your head, then you know it's going to be hard for you to actually overturn that and when you look at things.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in some sense I wonder here, could Christian and Hopeful, and I know they're heading forwards and very deliberately forwards, and the story requires them to only really be moving forwards. But couldn't they have just taken back to the mountains and show him?
I want to see mountains again. Mountains, Gandalf.
Or even say to him, you know, as you're heading back here, you'll come across the shepherds on the Dalekable Mountains. They're lovely people. Go up and see them and ask them to see the celestial city.
Maybe he has. You know, he has already seen that, but out of his ignorance, maybe. He still...
No, but ignorance is coming behind him.
Maybe atheist is ignorant too. So this guy's also flatterer as well.
Yeah, first of all, there's the suspicion that he might be a flatterer when he starts to approach. And then later on, Hopeful says that he is one of the flatterers.
So, do you think maybe, like, flattering is something else and, like, 17th century context or something, because both of these two people who have been flatterers, you know, they're not really flattering.
Yeah,
I mean, in this instance, atheist is just outright just making fun of Christian and Hopeful,
and then yes, laughing, like, in his face.
Oh yeah, he's a flatterer.
I feel flattered.
You know, someone laughs sarcastically at you for saying something you believe. Oh, this guy's actually so nice. Why is he flattering us so much?
Why, sir, I'm flattered.
He would have loved Twitter. I'm guessing from that kind of slant of this doesn't seem flattering at all, I would have understood flattering to be a kind of a charm and a, you know, a charisma that enticed you, probably more akin to worldly wise man. I think how it's being used by Bunyan here is more about persuasion, you know, that the kind of the allure of the argument or the idea. So the flatterer, the original flatterer from last time, was able to persuade them to follow him.
Yeah.
Because he dressed as a shiny one. This time, there is the potential for atheist. And I think there's a little bit of a crack in the armor for Christian. But there's the persuasion of, through reason, that this pilgrimage is pointless and in vain. Because the celestial city doesn't exist. And so there's more of an argument. And not even necessarily in an aggressive or a malicious sense, but just in the pure discourse of conversation of he is, maybe not in the purest sense because he's laughing in their faces, but, you know, through conversation and persuasion, he's saying, you need to change your understanding or reason or ideas of what's going on and stop going forwards on the path.
Yeah, in a lot of ways he's trying to seem more intellectually. I think the way atheism tries to work is, you know, it tries to make them feel more intellectually superior than Christian and Hopeful here.
Yeah, well, certainly, if not superiority, certainly by taking faith of any sort down a peg or two and making it seem inferior. You're essentially, you know, someone who's gullible and superstitious. You're a kind of a superstitious person. And Christian seems, you know, whenever atheist has said his piece, says that then Christian said to Hopeful,
"I request elaboration.
Is this true what this man has said?" You know, Hopeful's the junior here. He's the person I would have expected to have these doubts and these questions to Christian. But it's Hopeful who tells him to take heed.
Yeah.
And Hopeful doesn't seem to be, you know, it doesn't seem to bother him at all. He's not waylaid by this atheist character at all. And in fact, he has in mind the shiny one again. Lest the man with the whip overtake us again.
Yeah. They probably don't want to run into him.
No, he can still feel it. He's like, no, we're not doing this again. I'm still sore from the last time. And Hopeful, you know, convinces Christian or proves himself to Christian. And they decide to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, which I think is a really tightly rephrased understanding of what they are doing right here. You know, it's hope that they've placed their faith in, hope of the glory of God, the things unseen, that this celestial city is a realm that exists, even though atheists can't put his fingers on it. And they go, they continue going, and atheist just stands there laughing at them, continuing to make his way backwards.
Yeah, it's it's an interesting end. Like, none of the other characters have just ended with just them laughing.
Yeah. What I found really interesting about Atheist here is, you know, he doesn't come across as, you know, just this list of well thought out arguments and disputes out of nowhere to kind of knock Christian Hopeful off their course, you know, through logic questions and, you know, could God make a rock that it was too heavy for him to lift or things like that there. Atheist almost comes across as a deconversion story.
Mm-hmm.
If you're familiar with that term.
Yeah.
Like someone who has been on the path and has now turned away, turned back from it, deconverted from the faith. And he's literally, his deconversion takes him then back the opposite way along the journey.
Yeah, I suppose that's sort of what Bunyan said, not, isn't it? By the fact he's coming back the other way.
Yeah. But these stories have become, and especially maybe in the last 2 years, deconversion stories has been a huge thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we've got, you know, people like Rob Bell and Bart Ehrman and Campolo. I can't remember which one it is.
But I think it's interesting as well because the whole topic of atheism is probably not as big in terms of a Christian context as it was like 10 years ago. I think a lot of other things have like sort of social politics has overtaken it as sort of the new challenge, where if you go back.
Yeah, and I think the idea of a spiritual dimension is not as illogical as it would have been seen by militant atheism, the likes of Dawkins and those guys.
Yeah.
The idea of maybe Christianity as morally suspect is maybe more, I think that's one of the lines of apologetics that the likes of Rebecca McLaughlin takes on. It's not a case of rejecting this idea of the supernatural or the spiritual. That's kind of a given and was maybe only not a given for 50 to 70 years.
Yeah, I think as well, you know, atheists are people that said, you know, Christianity doesn't match up with science, so they would have used the science argument as a way of saying Christianity's wrong or whatever, but they can't even use that argument. A lot of people can't use that argument now because the way in which social politics is going is not a scientific route, if you know what I mean.
Well, that's, people just don't agree on what the science is.
So,
yeah.
I think that's partly why there's, like, you know, that even though I don't think Christianity and science are whatever really at odds, but people like to seem like they were.
Yeah, one of the most intriguing deconversion stories I think I've heard is of Penn Jillette. Penn Jillette is a famous magician who performs in Las Vegas under the double act of Penn and Teller. I think he's maybe one of the most famous magicians of the current era, and was brought up in a church setting and went to youth groups and church and would have professed faith at one stage, but walked all that back. And one of his reasons for his deconversion, he states, is that he doesn't believe it because he doesn't think really anybody truly believes it. And he says,
how much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that.
You know, it's so powerful because he's right. He's on to something here. But he's just not convinced then of the truth of it. He hasn't had an encounter with the risen Jesus.
Yeah, no, I think that's such a challenging, like, statement, like, to hear. As a Christian, you're like, flip. In some ways, you can't really disagree with him in some ways.
Yeah, so I think that this whole idea of, you know, whenever you think John Bunyan, whenever you think of, you know, 17th century Puritans, I don't think, for me anyway, I'm thinking they're going to have to wrestle with this idea of modern atheism, of disbelief in God. And yet this seems to be not completely out of the blue. This just seems like another one of the areas of life that Bunyan feels needs addressed in relation to the life of faith. The same way that idolatry and diversions and immoral living are areas in the Christian life that need to be addressed.
Yeah, it's probably more like what it was maybe like here, maybe like 50, 60 years ago, where most people probably did go to church, but a lot of people just didn't believe it and just went for just as a thing to do on a Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, and then even though they might have gone to church themselves,
it didn't mean much.
They find those who actually took it seriously, like,
yeah,
to be foolish.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was interesting that there is the reference to walking by faith and not by sight. Christian says at the very end, he references that verse from the New Testament about this man has been blinded by the God of this world. And I think in some part there's a bit of restraint here with Bunyan, that he doesn't have atheist as someone who is physically blinded.
My eyes are dim, I cannot see.
And have him kind of stumbling backwards as if he's been blinded. But he's someone who poses a legitimate, what's the word?
Challenge?
Yeah, a legitimate challenge for hopeful and Christian in impeding their journey towards the celestial city. Now, in many ways, it's just a speed bump, because they slow down and come through it without being taken off the path at all or even stopping. In a sense, they talk to him, but they continue walking on. rejoicing, but they're still, I mean, they face ridicule and laughing and scoffing.
Yeah, I suppose they're used to the ridicule bit from, well, Christian is from Vanity Fair.
Yeah, and even at home, this in the City of Destruction.
Yeah, so from that point of view, you know, they're not...
That's part and parcel.
Yeah, they kind of expect that.
Yeah.
It's more the reason behind it.
And with the laughter of the laughing atheist in the background, they make their way on through a certain part of the country whose air naturally tended to make travellers drowsy. So I think before we get into the next episode, we'll need to brew ourselves a strong pot of coffee and get ready for the tale of Hopeful through and through.
Indeed. Well, thanks for joining us on the Pilgrims Podcast. We'll be back again in 2 weeks' time, so make sure to look out for that. Don't forget to follow us on the social medias at Pilgrims Pod. And so, just like I say, goodbye. And I've been Harry.
I have been Stephen. Cheerio.
Yep, cheerio. Bye.
Bye.